26 to 33. That's page 160 in your pew Bibles. Numbers 13, chapter 13, verses 26 to 33. As you are going looking for that page, just let me give you a brief background to help us understand this passage that we're about to read. The Israelites were in the desert and in the wilderness, and one day God had commanded Moses to choose some men to check out the land of Canaan, which is the promised land. So the land of Canaan was the promised land that the Lord was going to give to Israelites. And Moses chose 12 men to go and as spies, and Joshua and Caleb were the two of the spies that went up to explore that land. So after they had done the exploration, they all came back and reported everything to Moses, to Aaron, as well as to the Israelite community. So this passage that we are about to read is an account of their report. So let's all rise in reverence to God's word. Numbers chapter 13, verses 26 actually to 30. Okay. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. May God add blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love for us. We love you, Lord. We love your Son, Jesus Christ. We love your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you have purchased us with a price, that you bought us with a price, Almighty God, that you save us. Father in heaven, I ask this morning that you would bless this time of updating our church with what you are doing in the Philippines, and for this time of preaching of your word today. Lord, I pray that you would help us discern and declare your word. Help us declare your word in a way that is pleasing to you, in a way that would benefit us as we listen to it, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds to your word, that we would be blessed by what we hear this morning. God, I ask for receptive hearts today, that we would be changed by your holy word and that we will hear your call in our lives. I would also like to ask, Lord, in behalf of the lost, if there are some of them here, that you would save them, that you'd speak to them, that you would reveal yourself to them, Father. We love you, Lord, and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to once again thank Mountain View Christian Fellowship, this church, for your prayer support and your financial support. I want to reiterate at the outset how crucial this partnership is. And Pastor Vic had used the word partnership. This is so crucial in the work that I do in the Philippines. I want to remind you that I'm not there on my own. You are with me, and you are essentially holding the rope here for me. I must say that sometimes I feel isolated and lonely at times, and it's kind of ironic because I'm a Filipino. I grew up there. It's easy for me to make friends, and I understand the culture, but I've always considered Canada as my home because I have been here for the last 24 years. So I believe that in one of the updates that I had sent, I had requested you, especially those of you who are on Facebook, to like whatever I post there on Facebook, especially those posting that relates to the work that we do. And what that does to me, it really encourages me. It reminds me that you're thinking of me, that I'm thought of, that I'm prayed for. Same time, it also kind of enlarges a network, so it's because when you like, as most of you know who are on Facebook, when you like something, your friends who are not my friends will also see what you like. And I have to tell you that there are already a few times where we have gotten some help just because so-and-so, this person saw a friend of his like a page, like a post that I did. So it's very important. We just really don't know what the Lord can do through those. So it's... you know, your letters as well. Some of you have written me emails, and that's so encouraging. I may be very slow in responding to you because it gets so easily, I get easily busy there. But know that I really appreciate receiving those. And so thank you so much for your partnership. And as we are partnering in this work, I being on the front lines, you holding the rope for me, so to speak, I encourage you this morning to consider with me right now as your Caleb. Okay, we've just read this passage. So Caleb and Joshua went up to explore this land. So consider me right now as your Caleb or Joshua who have gone to spy on that land that the Lord has given to us. Not only was I going there to explore, I also moved there to further the cause of Christ on your behalf. You support me with your prayer and your finances as I do the work of the Lord there. And as I share with you some updates, consider this as my report of what I saw there and how the work of ministry is progressing there in the Philippines. I want you to be with me all throughout the narrative of my report this morning and celebrate with me every step of the way, because you are in reality a big part of what is going on there in the slums of Davao City, Philippines. So remember, I am your Caleb. So, let me just use this. That's my... Yes. So this is my staff. I have actually 9 of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9. 2 of them are part-time, and the other one is not there. I used to have 10 of them, but the other 2 had to move on and work for another NGO. And so we all, except for one, we all live in the Hope House, what we call Hope House. Let me tell you that most of my staff, except for one, the one in green and that left corner, everyone there came and grew up actually from that slums, and they were helped by Hope for the Nations and some other organizations as well. And half of them have graduated and they decided to come back. The offers that they had for a better job, and remember they were in poverty and they would have this money and be able to help their family, but they decided to come back because they feel that they need to also reach out to other kids who are in similar situations as they were. So when I got there, I immediately kind of asked questions and find out what are the core issues, because I don't have any humanitarian background, by the way. So I have to ask this question. I don't want to assume. What are the core issues that a typical child at risk or a poor family goes through or faces every day? So I found out that education is really tough there. As many of you know, I mean, in the slums, they are just in abject poverty and there's no money there. So a lot of these kids are not going to school. So that's one of the core issues. The other one is malnutrition. You see that a lot of these kids that I work with are malnourished, underweight. So that's also another core issue. Third is poor health and hygiene. And you know, when you're in the community with thousands of you, there's no running water, no electricity sometimes. There's no sink in there. So health and hygiene is really low in the priority. They would rather use their money to buy food than for them to buy soap or even toothpaste or toothbrush. And so the other one is vulnerable. The kids are really vulnerable. We already know that. That's not only happening in the Philippines, but in other slums, in other poor areas in the world. There's always pedophiles and all those people who would exploit the vulnerable. The other core issue is the unskilled. There's so many untapped and unskilled and untapped talents there.
When I see them, I see possibilities. And when you really talk to them, they
do have a desire to better their lives, and they can do something if they are just trained. So that's one of the core issues as well. Boredom, you know, not just like our kids, because there's nothing to do there. They don't have X3 or Halo, whatever that is that you guys play, you know. So they do play basketball, but they're bored. So what happens is that when they're bored, they end up getting involved in things that are destructive or things that are just not good for them. And actually, I mentioned about that, untrained and untapped talents. Actually, I have now worked with a few of the young people there, and there, some of them really, they show some leadership promise, and so just no training, no environment where they can really learn something and better their skills, or even just education. And also, they need hope. It's a broken, it's a very dark place. If they need hope and they need Jesus. So, because out of those core issues, I have, along with my team, we established all these programs. We have a program for education. We have a program for nutrition, health and hygiene, child protection, livelihood, music, arts and sports, leadership training. And then in the middle, all of the things that we do, spiritual transformation or spiritual formation is always a part of it. So let me just go through you briefly one by one. So education, we have almost 100 kids in our Kids of Hope program. So we are in the slums. We have this building that we rent. There's 13 rooms there. We live on top, on the second floor. Downstairs, we use it for classrooms. So if everybody comes, we really have over 100. But these are the ones that we have profiled. And so there are 22 children, ages 2 to 5, 40, ages 6 to 10, 38 children, ages 11 to 15. And we have 16, only 16 of these kids are sponsored, are in the scholarship program where we pay or somebody sponsors them to go to school. And our goal is to have 50 of them by 2017 in April, 50 sponsored kids. And it just costs $40 to $45 a month, 10 months or I guess, 12 months, whole year to sponsor a kid. And I have to tell you, just the ones that we have sponsored, the ones that really are thriving, it is so, so remarkable, very encouraging, because all of a sudden they're given a chance at life. And they hold to it very tightly because they've never had that. And there's so many kids that would want to be in their position. And I think, you know, having lived in Canada, which is really kind of beneficial for me, because now I appreciate, wow, the abundance that we have here. And we have a group of people there that don't even have food. And just the amount of money that we spend on food here, maybe a couple of meals can already send a kid to school and stop the generational poverty that they are born into. Impeccable, remarkable opportunity for ministry. So, nutrition. Last year, we launched this program called Hope Rising. It was launched in July. I was preparing to go there, so I started managing this already remotely. And we have budgeted, we are in that school, Poros and Renter School. There's 2,300. I spoke to the principal a couple of times. I had a meeting with him. And I asked him how big is the school. It's 2,300. And 60% of the population is below poverty line. Imagine. I mean, the class size there is between 50 to about 65 in a classroom. Okay? And they're packed, you know, so many kids. And so that's where we had our feeding. A lot of these children, listening to the principal, even teachers, it breaks, you know, a lot of them would come to school hungry. And they just kind of look at the teacher like nothing goes in, you know. And so we launched that. And okay, so feeding was once a week. We can only afford once a week, and we fed 100 students. Our budget was 2,000 pesos, which is really $57 in today's exchange rate, and that would feed. We had to stretch it because there's kids in line waiting. You know, when somebody misses school, they are just very, very excited to just get that spot. Our ingredient is moringa. That's like a local, very potent kind of vegetable. Anyway, now we are doing our feeding program in a school called Don Julian Elementary School. And we are now feeding twice a week, 150 students. Thank God for that foundation that gave us a grant for $15,000. And so that would really help us throughout the year. And again, in that school, there's 2,000 population, same, 65% below poverty line. And as I said, 152,000. The budget is 4,500, which is 128 Canadian, to feed, 150 twice a week. Our goal is to be able to feed 200 students every school day by June of 2016. That's our prayer. And we also have an off-site, off-campus kind of activity with them twice a month. So part of the budget also goes to that, and that's very gospel and discipleship-oriented, because we won't be able to really do this at school. But the teacher, a lot of teachers and the principal are believers, very godly believers. They were very happy that we are also a Christian organization, and they want to share the gospel with the kids. So we're excited for this off-campus kind of activity. We also have a special program for the parents. We haven't started yet, but that's a plan. And we have health and hygiene. My fraternity donated a bunch of all these toothbrushes, and so we gave it, and so we just started our group hand washing and group brushing. Really exciting. So we're teaching kids how to brush their teeth. Half of these kids don't really know, never had kind of a toothbrush, or maybe they had and then it was just kind of borrowed. So we're really teaching them, because you minimize a lot of illness that way if they're trained properly. We have child protection program as well. So as you can see, with poverty children at risk of sexual abuse, child trafficking, domestic abuse, child labor, being radicalized, being recruited by gangs. Since I got there, I had to already deal with 3 cases of sexual abuse, pedophiles, 2 of them. I had to deal with domestic abuse, parents beating up their kids. I have this kid, his name is George Harrison. I mean, I've seen him with bruises. He's barely 8, and he's been beat up by his father, no mother. Most of these kids don't have fathers, by the way. Most of the parents also are not married. And so we have, training. We want to do periodic training. Every 6 months we do training for child protection with parents. And our also staff would attend some of this training that is being sponsored by the department, by some agencies. Okay, and the child protection. Again, internet cafes are all over the place. So in November, I sat down with a girl. She was 11 then at the time, and one of our conversation led to internet. And we were talking about, where would you spend your 10 pesos if you have? And she said, I would go to the internet and Facebook. I said, have you seen explicit material? I said, have you seen porn? I said, yes. How old were you? 8. And then she told me, she gave me the address, and she's seen it. And then I kind of asked all the kids around, it's like, have you? But 90% that we have surveyed and have seen explicit material. And this kid basically, she wanted to have sex already. She told me twice in front of the staff that she can't wait, because she thought it was exciting and sensational, whatever. Broke my heart. One of our scholars. So this is like in squatter's air, where there's no space. You've seen just a stall there or a desk, and there's a computer, and they go there and pay 10 pesos per hour. To do internet. So our vision is to be able to have internet cafe in the base in Hope House, which is for children, and they can come here before they can serve. They get to see a clip about the gospel, about the Lord, or something that they can learn from, values and all. And then we also want to have child counselors who will be there supervising, and then that would be an opportunity for them to share Jesus and to also disciple them in the making. So we're praying for that. And livelihood. We have, this is our container, organic container gardening. We have very tight space there. And so that's our plants. Before this construction was happening, this was how lush it is. And so we have been tweaking. This is our showroom. So we make our own soil. It's permacasting. We make our own fertilizer and pesticides and all. And so this is the fruit. And if you can see here, that's a chicken coop. So I have chicken in there. So they already hatched about 17 eggs. We ate 8 of them, and we have 7.
seven that is now probably two months old. I actually want to make this into a kit. I kind of saw the space, what a waste. So why don't we make a chicken coop there? So we wanted to make this into a kit and sell this through the government to other poorer areas because it's very portable. You can take this with you and then you can buy containers or can buy containers from us. We also sell them. The vision is for us to sell the soil, the seedlings, pesticides, and fertilizer. So great opportunity here. This is our plan for our showroom, but it's under construction right now by faith. And so this is, yeah, so here's a trellis. We want to also make this into a coffee house because I'm always meeting with partners and some guests outside. I go to the mall or have to commute. So I'd rather that they come here, they see the work, they see the place, and we'll have coffee there. So there's an NGO that's going to set us up for a coffee house. They have a coffee house already, and they will use their merchandise to do this. So we're excited for this. We train our kids. Our vision is for this youth to train other youth as well. We have already one community just waiting for us to give them a green light and they can come. So we're training these kids to train them how to do vermicasting and all this fertilizer and pesticides and how to germinate. We have another livelihood program. I just sent two of these women to sowing. So we don't have a capital yet. We don't have much, you know, machines, but we're praying. So this is one of the ones that we want to go into as well. And music and arts. As you know, I am conducting a choir there. And so this is our Christmas. I think you've seen one of the updates I've sent here. So it's exciting, really great, because when we practice, I have to always talk to them about the Lord and the songs that we sing. So we also are training some kids how to play guitar, ukulele. I hope to be able to train them on the dulcimer, something different anyway. So I'm looking for one. Then we have a drama team. You know, they're very keen on this. They just run it on their own, and we know coaching as well. Some of the ones that they have presented is very, very, very amazing. So we want to really develop them that way. It's amazing because when they are able to do this, it gives them a voice of what they're going through. So very powerful tool to be able to help them process what they're going through. We have been collecting for the last 4 months driftwood. So we want to make a drift. There's so many of them because very close to the ocean. If you guys have an opportunity to go there, the beaches are incredible there, although I've only been there a few times, but it's really great. So lots of driftwood. We have been commissioned to already make a big vase for one of the restaurants in the area. They want to buy it off from us in December. So it's a big job, but it's a kid's going to... I don't know if we're going to use YouTube or Pinterest to help us with the design. Excited about that one. And basketball, everybody plays basketball there. This is exactly what you see. This is kind of how the slums look back inside, you know, when you go. So there are rings in their basketball, you know, places. People, I mean, kids would play barefooted, and they play. They're good basketball players, and because they're bored, and they can only, you know, so we want to do a sports ministry, and one of our, my assistant is already in the process of presenting a proposal. And it's great. I think he sends the call of God to do that. So we're very excited to be able to reach out, especially to the young people. And leadership training. This is basically the bottom of everything. When this is really where my heart really beats. The Lord has given me a vision to train up leaders. Philippines is littered with corruption. It's a very progressive country. So much money coming in because there's a call center and a lot of Filipinos. Most Filipinos sending money there every day, so it will never run its cash there, but its corruption is everywhere. So it's a very systemic problem, but I believe that we can raise leaders from the poor. You know, I am so even just excited with the thought that maybe we have the future president in that area, or future senators and congressmen and mayors. So what I'm praying is to be able to get 6 or 7 of the guys that we have who have cognitive abilities and leadership skills. And we train them, and I've already connected with 2 other NGOs and organizations and a couple of churches. They also send their few, and we can house them together, and then they sponsor them to school. In the evening, we have some modular classes. We'll teach them about integrity and honesty, as well as public administration, good governance, international studies, entrepreneurial skills. So we want to groom them as early as they are 12. So when they graduate, they would be public servants, and they would have a heart for the Lord and a heart for that nation. So we need to indoctrinate them, because a lot of these Filipinos would go out once they graduate, but we want them to stay in the Philippines and really make a difference. So I have a lot of those naysayers already, the negative people. It's like, it cannot be done. Problem is very systemic. Or, yeah, maybe you can do it, but when they get to be in an office, they'll turn out to be the same as the others, because it's easy. You know, a very loose system there. A lot of people can really go into corruption. But I believe in God, and God is bigger than this, and nothing's impossible. So imagine your partnership with me. I'm not just there doing Bible studies, but this is what's in the heart, what the Lord has given me. We might be instrumental in raising one of the most influential leaders of the country. And I am there. I'm excited about that. So everything that we do there, we share the gospel as much as possible. I've taken everyone, including the parents, to discipleship material that I've used when I was in university. We don't have materials there, Pastor Vic. So I have to go online, but I decided I'm going to use an old one, but it was very, very powerful. But anyway, out from that, we have 14 of those junior high who have given their lives to the Lord, and 3 parents. Incredible. So we're planning now to baptize them. A lot of them are going to to church in that community already, so I'm really, really excited. And this is one of the guys, one of the kids that we are using now. Who of you remember EE, Evangelism Explosion? They have an incredible, I went to the training, it's for children. Incredible material, very gospel-oriented. Discipling is really good, very animated. We really love it. So we're going through, we're using the material going forward. So excited about that. And thank you. That's Philippine in a nutshell. So, as I mentioned to you earlier, I invited someone to come up as our Joshua, my Joshua this morning, to share with us what he has seen and what God is doing in the Philippines, especially in the slum that I work in. So, it's my pleasure to introduce to you Scott Louis.
Thanks, Tancho. So my name is Scott Louie, and my wife, Cindy, and I and our boys are actually in China, have been for the last 7 years. But recently, I had the opportunity to visit the Philippines and visit Tancho in Davao. Let me start. In the Gospel of Matthew, we're given a little interchange between John the Baptist and Jesus, sort of long distance. And in chapter 11, we read, "When John heard in prison that what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, 'Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?' And Jesus replied, 'Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor.'" So today, I just want to take five minutes or so, and I'd just like to report to you, Mountain View Christian Fellowship, what I have heard and seen in the Philippines. And Tancho didn't give me direction as to what to say, but I just want to report to you the things that I've seen. And because he is there serving, and you have sent him. So there are just 3 things I want to report about Tancho. And you've seen the work, but I want to report on the man. Tancho, the first is, Tancho is in a place that you and I yearn for. And I'm not talking about living in the slums. I'm not talking about living in a very cramped, simple place. I'm not talking about the situation of having to deny himself the conveniences and pleasures that he's been used to. Or I'm not talking about living hand to mouth often. But I'm talking about being in a place where, at least from my perspective, that he is in the center of God's will. To me, And to use a driving metaphor, driving a car, it seems to me that Tancho is in fourth gear. He's in fourth gear in the Philippines. And I've known him for 15 years, and certainly I've seen him minister effectively in all sorts of situations, leading worship, ministering to youth, being faithful in prayer, encouraging, taking care of kids, and so many other ways. But I think what I have seen of Tancho in the Philippines is that God has got him in a place where he is soaring. And that's very exciting. It's like a convergence that I've seen of Tancho's gifts, his interests, his passions, his experience and skills, and God has brought them all together and is using them for God's glory. So that's the first thing I want to report to you, that God is using Tancho. The second thing is that real lives are being impacted. And Trevor, if you would just put that picture up. So this is a picture of the kids. And you see there's Tancho at the back, and there's me as well. And these are the kids there and the leaders. I got to see them one Saturday morning, so I think twice a week all the kids come into the Hope House. And I'll explain that picture a little bit, but I just wanted you to know that as I was there and I got to meet his staff and talk with them, very consistently they have just testified of how Tancho has come and has served them, is mentoring them, is leading them, is really supporting them, and he is there raising up a next generation of leaders. And so they respect and they appreciate Tancho. You see that in the picture, the children are all holding up what looks to be like underwear, and they are underwear. So before I went down to the Philippines, I was Skyping with Tancho, and I was just saying, hey, Tancho, you know, I would love to be able to bring down some things to support you guys. You know, what can I bring? And he said to me, Scott, you know, you would not believe this, but, you know, the kids there, they are so poor that many of them do not have their own pair of underwear. And he said that actually many of the kids, they share one pair of underwear, you know, boys and boys and girls and girls. And so I just thought that was an unbelievable thought. So anyways, living in China and being the world's manufacturing plant, so I went and bargained for 119 pairs of underwear. And so I brought them down to the Philippines, and then we gave them to the kids one day. But I think that's just a little bit of an indication of really how poor the kids are there. But when I say real lives are being impacted, I think you get the sense of what Tancho just shared, that these kids, their lives are being touched. They are being fed and led and trained, given life skills, and they're coming to know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. And so that's very exciting. I think the other people that are being touched by Tancho there, real lives, are also influential people in Tancho's network. And so he graduated from university there. He has a fraternity network. He's just, you know, Tancho, he's just a way of getting to know a lot of people. And so I think God has given him a very influential network that now he is able to activate because of the work that he's doing. And so he's going to give influential people an opportunity in the Philippines to reach out and help the poor. And, you know, that's not a blessing to the poor, but that is a blessing to the influential people. That is a gift to them. So that's the second thing. The first thing is that Tancho is being used by God. The second is that real lives are being impacted. And third, Tancho is living sacrificially. He is literally putting his money where his mouth is. And I have described to people about the area that Tancho's in as, as being similar to what you have seen in the movie Slumdog Millionaire. If you've seen that movie, you know, you remember the aerial shots of the slums. That's very much down where Tancho's living. And it's and although Tancho's personal resources are very limited, he is giving sacrificially out of his own pocket to his leadership and to the kids there. And I think that I'm greatly inspired and challenged by that. And I think he is living out the gospel there. So he is living sacrificially. So that's the third thing that I wanted to share with you, that God is using Tancho, lives are being impacted, and he is living sacrificially. And I know that Mountain View is supporting him as a missionary out on the field, and I think that is great, and I think you could be greatly encouraged by what you hear this morning. And if I know that Tancho wouldn't do this, but I would just like to advocate for Tancho on a personal level as well, that if God would so move your heart to support him personally, then I think that that would be a very wise investment in gospel work. And even $50 a month, I think, for over the next year would make a big difference in his life, would also free him up to take advantage and to be able to fulfill the call and the breadth of opportunity that Tancho has there in the Philippines. So perhaps God will raise it on your heart, $50 a month. You will be blessed if you do that, and Tancho will certainly be helped. Just before I step down, I just want to share with you two verses that I see in Tancho's life. And these come from 1 John 3:16 and 17. It says in the Message, it says, "This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers, and not just for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears, and you made it disappear." And I can say that in Tancho's life, he is seeing the need, and he is doing something about it. And so just this morning, I just want to say I praise God for what he's doing in and through Tancho in the Philippines.
Wow. Thank you, Scott. Don't know what to say, but it's very humbling to hear from what my brother has said here. I want to share with you just briefly now, just in interest of time, just a word from God in Joshua chapter 14, verses 10 to 4. If you have your Bibles there, or maybe I have it here, 14, let me just read that quickly. So if you remember that story that we just heard, we read from Numbers, that Joshua and Caleb and 10 other spies went to explore that land that the Lord has given them, the land of Canaan, and they came back. Except for Joshua and Caleb, they reported negative things. They did see that it was a land flowing with milk and honey, but they have all these buts about their great, their giants, their cities fortified, they're large. You know, they look at us like grasshoppers, sort of. So this is basically now 45 years after. So, chapter 14, let me just read that to you. Chapter 14, verses 10 to 14. "Now then," so anyway, I remember Caleb had to intervene and said, "We have to go back. You have to go up there. The Lord is with us. If the Lord is pleased with us, we can do it." So 45 years later, he said, "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said," he promised this to Moses, "while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old." Imagine, 85 years old. "I am still strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he had said. Amazing. So here's Caleb, 45 or 85 years old, still strong, and his eyes were fixed on the promised land that God was going to give to Israel. Nothing would discourage him. Nothing would stop him from going. Even if those 10 spies, he was outnumbered, he was a minority, he and Joshua, but he waited for this time that the Lord is finally going to give him and Israelite the promised land. Give me that hill country. Give me that mountain. So what is your mountain? What is the one that you're asking God to give you? Is it give me the city? I think that we need to be as a church, we need to have that burden today to give us the city, give us this community, Lord, for the gospel. Give us our loved ones. Give us our co-workers. Because time is short, you know. We won't be able to take these material things with us to heaven. We can only take people. And time is short. So what is that mountain that you're asking God for him to give you? My mountain is obviously the Philippines. And especially that raising of leaders. Godly, influential leaders for Christ. Just imagine with me for just a second, you know. These poor children that otherwise would not have any chance at all at life. And they're growing up, being discipled and mentored as the Lord enables us to do it, as the Lord changed their lives. They're growing up to be influential, impactful people in the Philippines, people who will stay and display God our Father, display the Lord Jesus Christ, and at the same time serve Him as public servants. Can you imagine? That is my mountain. When I thought about this, nothing stops me. Obviously, a lot of my friends say, hey, you're crazy. I mean, you're in Canada, good life. And obviously, whether it's plus or minus here, but I posted some good pictures on Facebook before I went, you know, Harrison Lake, trips here and there, food that I eat. And it's like people are thinking that I am so wealthy in Canada. And I am compared to the Filipinos. I live a comfortable life here. So when they heard that I was going back to the Philippines, even people here in Canada, Filipinos, like, are you crazy, Tonso? People would kill to come here. There's so many people lining up, wanting to come to Canada. And here, you're going back for the sake of the poor? I mean, it's even very sad because some are believers. Why not serve here? Why not just send your money there and get a good job and earn more, and then you can. I can do that, but the call of God is different. You know, I have also some people who have asked, like, why would you go there? Why can't you just, you know, mentor from here, raise up a Filipino, that whatever, right? I mean, there's a lot of those, like, it's impossible, as I said, it's impossible to raise new leaders there because when they grow, when they become, you know, when they become public officials, they will also be corrupt, so. But that did not stop me. I don't have finances with me. I mean, I did not plan for this. I took a year off from working, so I used up almost all of my money. So I went there really barely nothing. But you see, when that call comes into your life, I mean, you see different things. You don't see the giants. You see them, but they are nothing compared to that fruit or that land that God has promised you. And I'm very thankful to the Lord that has given me this picture in my mind. And that's the one that propels me to come and to imagine, you know, with us, Mountain View Christian Fellowship and me and some of the ones that are helping, raising up a generation of leaders from among the poor. That's unheard of. I mean, maybe there are some poor who made it into life and they became successful. But this one, that's the mountain that I'm asking. Give me that mountain. When I was preparing to go, I was listening to Ravi Zacharias. He was speaking at a church in Manila, and I was listening to him live streaming online. And I remember this. I remember this verbatim, what he said. He said, it is so critical to understand your calling. A calling is a convergence of your conviction, of your passion, of your capabilities, and of opportunities. Your conviction, this is what I know to be true. Your passion, this is what I know I need to do. Your capabilities, this is how the Lord has equipped me. And the door swings wide open with opportunities for you to fulfill that call. And as God had said, I am living that call. Because all of a sudden, this when I said yes, although I worried, I was worried sick too, you know. But when I said yes, things changed. The way I saw things were changed. And I actually have Cindy Louis to thank this. I used to live with them, and this is one of the ones that I would remember to this day, what she said. She said, Tansh, there are so many things that you would not probably see, hard to understand, but when you obey, as if the veil is taken off your eyes and you see different things. When you obey, then things start to fall in its place. And we just heard that Carolyn, remember? Carolyn talked about this friend, Neve, who is an atheist. And then she one day just realized that, I believe. And all of a sudden, the things that she refuted, she wanted to refute, made sense. Because what? She believes. And that's the same thing for me. And so Joshua, if you notice in our Caleb, by the way, in verse 12, let me read this to you. Now give me this country, a hill country that the Lord promised me that day you yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. This is what he said. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. See, Joshua did not just ask for this mountain, but he also realized that he has things to do. So it's not just give me this mountain and I'll just sit pretty there and pray and do nothing. I mean, prayer is do something, obviously. Don't get me wrong, but it's like if you don't do anything, then what good is it? Joshua realized that, yes, give me this mountain and I'm going there. Even though I'm 85 years old, even though I'm 51 years old now myself, I'm going with some medical issues. I'm going there. Give me this mountain and I will drive them away, those Amalekites and Jebusites or whatsoever they are. See, I believe that in order, if you want the word, the Lord to, So, anyway, do you remember this? I lost my cue. Remember this line? Whose line is this? Whose quote is this? Jim Elliot. Yeah, of course, there's Jim Elliot there. Bright people, yeah. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And even as I went there, I said, I remembered this quote as well. And I said, Lord, you know my needs. I will give it all for the sake of this call that you have in my life. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. I've lost track of all the Sundays, the offering plates gone by, as I gave my hard-earned dollars, I felt free to keep my life. I talk about commitment and the need to count the cost. But the words of a martyr show me I don't really know his cross. For he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Yes, he is no fool
who lays his own life down. I must make this the path I choose. Obedience and servanthood are traits I've rarely shown, and the fellowship of his suffering is a joy I've barely known. There were riches in surrendering that can't be gained for free. God will share all heaven's wonders, but the price he has is me. For he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And he is no fool who lays his own life down. I must make this the path I choose. I must make this the path I choose. When
I think about Caleb and what he had to say, give me this mountain and I'm ready to drive those nations away, I realize that if we really want the Lord to work with us, we have to be willing. We must be willing to work for him. I'm not talking about salvation here, but I'm talking about building his kingdom. I'm talking about furthering the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do want our church to grow. We do want this community to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do want our kids to grow up discipled. We don't want our families to be serving the Lord together. But if we're not willing to work for him, then the blessing of the Lord, I don't think that it would come as he wants it anyway, in its full potential. In order, if you want the Lord to work for us, then we must be willing to work for the Lord. I am in the Philippines, and I'm willing to work for him, whatever it costs. Scott is not lying when he said that sometimes I would have to be living there hand to mouth, but it's a beautiful journey. I have not seen God works in miracles, as that's what I've seen there. And I think that's probably my journey there. But I said, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to go. Even if my family would not approve it, even if my friends would see that's crazy, even if I don't have money, even if I'm willing to die there. I'm willing to serve the Lord, whatever it takes, for the cause of Christ, for the furtherance of his kingdom. I need you. As I mentioned, we are partners. And I have some prayer requests that I want to share with you. I know you're not taking notes at this time, but remember, there's just only a few of them. When you remember me, These are the things that I'd really like for you to pray. Pray for God's power to manifest. We want the conviction of the Holy Spirit to really dawn in the community. We want God's power to really manifest and change and bring about community transformation through the gospel. So pray for that power to manifest there. Pray for my staff, Hope for the Nations. Last month, I have decided that I am going to require all of them to spend 30 to 40% of their working hours every day to pray. And that might be foolish, but I believe that this is what the Lord wants us to do. I still expect us to finish our jobs, to be expedient, to be prompt, and to finish it on time. But I'm asking them, and there's a buy-in, they're excited about this, I'm asking them to pray. The testimonies that I have heard ever since is amazing. All of a sudden, they see, wow, for the first time, I've never seen things getting in place, because they are praying. We ask each other, have you prayed today? If not, go to the room, get the room. So we are accountable. I'm not shy talking to them, neither are they shy talking to me. And there's some things where your flesh is so weak, but that's our commitment. So pray for us, because when we pray, the enemy is there just waiting to devour us, waiting to discredit us, to discourage us. To get us on off track. Pray for us. I also pray for financial provision. As I said, I'm living by faith there, and it's a beautiful journey. But I pray just that the Lord will provide. As Scott would say, sometimes I think, oh, I wish I just didn't have to worry about financial, because I could have spent all my waking moments just doing other stuff. There's needs. The needs there are infinite. And pray that I would pursue God diligently and be a seeker of his heart daily in his word and in prayer. Pray for me, because I need the Lord there. I recognize how critical it is to walk humbly and intimately with him. Now, for those of you, Rika, Tracer, and some leaders here and the kids who are planning to go to the Philippines, you have to come so you'd see what I have seen. I am your Caleb. Now I've seen, I'm bringing a report to you. It's a good land. You will be used there mightily, but my vision is also for these kids and for you all to come back here when you go, change. And again, the neat thing about my situation myself is that I am part of this church. I'm Canadian, so I kind of really understand our culture. So I want this to be a two-way process. Don't go there like we're going to go there and teach them, because you will realize soon enough that they will be teaching you. Like Scott was saying, that it would be an honor and privilege for those influential people to be able to help. I tell you, when you see there, you will see an opportunity of see some things that God is doing, and it will change your heart if you allow him. So my prayer is that when you go there, when you come back, and you have a continuation here where these kids are discipled, are given environment or platform where they can serve, who knows, you will have future pastors and leaders of the church here. So we'll come back. So it's a win-win situation. Go there, Philippines. Davao is now the number 4 safest city in the world. So don't worry about that. We have a good mayor who is well-respected by the Muslims and some other insurgents. It's a beautiful place. It's very lush. It's a great place to go. It's a great place to serve God. It's a great place to see God work. Thank you.
Thank you, Tantra. That was very inspiring. Of course, I think you even sing better now that you've been there for a year. Amazing. I'm going to ask Doug to come up. And Scott, if you'll come up as well. We're going to pray for Tantra. We're going to take turns. Let's stand together as we stand with Tantra. Our Father, thank you. We heard from you today. Lord, I know people who have lived to make great wealth, and at the end of their lives, they've died without real meaning and purpose. I've known people who live for themselves and live for pleasure, and Lord, they have no meaning in their lives. They're empty. What a joy to be able to know that you are in the heart of God's will, doing the work of God, doing what you have created us to do. And I, Lord, since I've known Tancho, he's been wanting to serve you in a big way. And indeed, he is where you want him to be. And what a privilege it is for our friendship and our partnership with Tancho that we can support him and just extend our encouragement to him and be partners with him in this great work. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Lord Jesus, I pray that nobody in this place wastes their life. I pray that each person does seek why they were made, why they exist at this particular time, and what opportunities you are giving them and us to serve you. I pray, Father, that we would live for the kingdom, seek the kingdom first, that we would do the work of the kingdom, that we would rejoice when the kingdom is growing. I especially pray, Lord, for protection for those kids. We heard that there are some people who would like to extend the kingdom of darkness into that place. They go there with a desire to harm. But I thank you that you have your people there who go there with a desire to protect and to do good and to point the way to Christ. Give them the victory, we pray, Lord Jesus. And thank you for Tancho. Just strengthen him. Encourage him. And may you continue to use him not only in the Philippines, but here when he brings the good news to us as well.
Father, we thank you for the privilege that we here at Mountain View Christian Fellowship have to serve you in the Philippines, in Davao, as we do it in partnership with Tancho and Hope for the Nations. I pray that we would be faithful to our responsibility in praying and in giving and in encouraging. It's all summed up in the acronym SPEAK. Lord, that we would do our part in this partnership. But Lord, thank you that in this way we can be making a difference. Lord, I join in praying for Tancho. We just thank you for his example. Lord, I pray that by the power of your Spirit, you may fill him with love and vision and courage and wisdom. Lord, that you would continue to sustain him as he is there, that he may be held up by your powerful and mighty hands. We pray for the fruitfulness and effectiveness of all the various ministries of Hope for the Nations, and especially for life transformation. Transformation in a practical, material sense, transformation spiritually. Lord, that lives would really be touched. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing there through Tancho. We thank you for just his message this morning, and I pray for myself and all of us that we would take to heart the idea of what are the mountains in front of us, that we would go forth in faith, Lord, that we would really make our lives count. Thank you, Lord, for Tancho. Thank you for just the privilege of being in partnership with him.
Father, I thank you just for stirring my heart this morning as I have listened to Tancho share. And I know that there are many hearts in this place that are stirred as well. The excitement to see God using our brother in an amazing way. And I know that it's the desire of my heart and of Cindy's. It's my prayer for my boys, and it's my prayer for each one here, Father, that we would be right where you want us to be, where we would have that sense of being used by you, of experiencing that convergence of our giftings, our desires, our talents, experiences, merged together, Father, to fulfill a special purpose that you have for each one of us. And so I pray that we might pursue that with all of our hearts, Father, that we would be able to find ourselves in a similar place as Tancho, maybe not in Davao, maybe not overseas, but wherever you have placed us, Father, that we would be thriving and soaring for your kingdom purposes. And even in the midst of troubles and of of lacking resources and of opposition, of danger, in spite of those things, Father, that we would be thriving and soaring wherever you place us. So may your hand continue to be upon Tancho. May you raise up the resources that he needs, Father. May you touch hearts this morning that we might financially support him personally, encourage him, pray for him, whatever you call us to do. Allow us the privilege, Father, of participating more fully in what he's doing, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Tancho. If you need prayer this morning, please come up. There will be just a number of people here to pray with you and for you. If you have just health issues and you want the Lord to touch your body, please come. If you want to know what the purpose of God is for your life and you want prayer, please come. Scott and Cindy will be here, and Doug and Anna Marie will be up front as well. So just feel free to come and let them pray over you. My apologies that we have a congregational meeting as well that's going to take place in about 10 or 15 minutes. We don't like to do this too often to our guests, but unfortunately it's something that we have to get done today. But those of you who are not members, please, you know, just encourage and stick around and just welcome those that are here as well. And I'm going to conclude the service at this point and just thank you for coming. And this was a really encouraging Sunday. Nice to have you with. Unfortunately, Tancho's not going to be able to be present with us anymore Sundays because he'll be going to different churches in the States. And as well, Karen and I and the family, we're going to be on holidays from here on in. We'll see you probably at the camp. But till then, God bless you. And keep you, make his face shine upon you. Amen.